decision about a White House run.
Gingrich says he should know in about a month if he's going to run. The latest Gallup poll puts him in a dead heat with other GOP contenders Mike Huckabee, Sarah Palin, and Mitt Romney. Gingrich's big drawback among voters may be that he's admitted to not being faithful while he was married, but on Fox News Sunday he says his faith is getting him through.
I had to seek God's forgiveness, and I had to seek reconciliation, and I had to believe that being genuinely repentant mattered.
Gingrich has been visiting key states like Iowa and New Hampshire to judge how much support he has. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News Radio.
The man who gave us super glue has died. Harry Wesley Coover Jr. was working for Tennessee Eastman Company when he accidentally invented super glue by ruining new refractometer prisms. Coover was honored by President Obama with the National Medal of Technology and Innovation just last year. Coover was 94 years old. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is William Ryko, and welcome to Sovereign Minds Radio. And tonight we have another Average Joe show, and the topics tonight will be fascinating, to say the least. Personal and home preparedness, financial preparedness, things like that. And with that said, I'd like to first like to thank all of our sponsors, including all of those out there who have donated to the cause of Sovereign Minds Radio, no matter how much you've donated or helped us, and our sponsors. I'll tell you what, we've got some good sponsors out here, because we have Advanced Soil Stabilization, and it's using Technosoil for dust control on roads, driveways, and parking lots. Also, they install Crestone driveways. If you want to know anything about this, and I advise you to call him, to call Todd Sykes for more information at 530-549-4801. Advanced Soil is green-friendly. For those of you who are green-friendly people, I'm one of them, and I think most of us are, but we do hate the dust, and it eliminates dust. So we want to really call Todd Sykes for this, like I said, at phone number 530-549-4801. Any of you that want to call in tonight, please do so by calling in at 530-605-4567. One more time, 530-605-4567. And with that said, we'll go on to Team Quest, another one of our sponsors, by Carlos Zapata. And for those of you that don't have any martial arts experience, and it doesn't matter what age you are, you need to get into this Team Quest. It builds confidence for the young people, man or woman, does not matter here. And I think that's what we need a lot more of, confidence, tenacity. And if you want to learn how to kick a little butt, that's the place to go. Okay, we got a few news threads here we'll touch on. Then we're going to get right into our preparedness. And by the way, I just want to let you know, we got Mark Kent in here tonight from the Tea Party, and he's going to talk about financial things and things like this in this field. I'm an expert survival person myself here, and so we'll throw a little bit about home defense and things of this nature you want to put into. Team Quest, Advanced Soil Stabilization, and all those who donated, thank you very much. Military actions, news threads, it's military actions are still continuing in Libya, and Gaddafi is now under control, shall we say, of the United Nations. I mean, it's really important. We got our president to turn around and relinquish us and put it in the United Nations hands, and that is very important there. I've talked to too many people that are tired of these war situations that we're putting our people into. Also, Japan wars are just beginning, really. Nuclear fears are still rising over there. They have food and water contamination. You know, on the off the coast of Japan, I just found out that it's many, many times higher. And I'm just going to say, you know, 1,000 or so. I don't know exactly what it is now because it's climbing all the time, the contamination of the radioactivity in the water and the groundwater, the spinach, the milk crops, everything else that they have. And all the towns surrounding Tokyo are now high levels of radiation and stuff inside their waters, underground water. That's, wow. That gets me right there. I mean, you can't do anything about that. That's your aquifer.
Well, that's why you need a three-day go bag to start with.
You got it. You got it. And we're going to be talking about that three-day go bag here real shortly here. Okay, they also just had another 6.5 earthquake in Japan. We need to send our prayers out to these people because, I mean, they really need it. Just think if that happened in your community, in your neighborhood, what would happen? I mean, that's terrible. I'd hate to have to lose, you know, my children, half of my family, in some cases everybody. You know, you just don't know what to do there. And with that said, Now we're going to get into preparedness. Now we're talking about financial preparedness here, right, Mark?
And well, I like to start out there, you know, but there's just all kinds of preparedness. Yeah. I mean, you know, financial, there's, you know, like you're talking about with the tsunami and the earthquake, mm-hmm. fire, flood. I mean, just the fact that there's so many different things that could happen, you know, to us that is out of our control, that we should start, you know, putting together plans so that we can maintain some control over our lives if any of these things happen, so we're not, you know, sitting out alongside the road waiting for FEMA to come by, you know.
Very true. Very
yeah,
true.
So that's kind of the deal. So with that, I like to start out with the financial stuff because I think that right now in this country, we've got some financial issues here that the media is pretty much not, you know,
telling us the truth.
They're not, yeah, I hate to say lying.
they're lying. Let's yeah, go.
Pretty much. At best, they're covering it up. So, yeah. You know, it's a problem. But I want to start by reading something. This is a treatise that Alan Greenspan wrote in 1967 called Golden Economic Freedom. Now, you know, for those of people who are listening who don't know who Alan Greenspan is, and that might be two, you know, I hope.
Okay.
You know, he used to be the chairman of the Federal Reserve before he turned it over to Bernanke, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there was somebody in between there. But anyway, this is important because I think what he's saying here is absolutely true. In the absence of a gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. If there were, the government would have to make its holding illegal, as was done in the case of gold. If everyone decided, for example, to convert all his bank deposits to silver or copper or any other good and thereafter declined to accept checks as payment for goods, bank deposits would lose their purchasing power and government-created bank credit would be worthless as a claim on goods. The financial policy of the welfare state requires that there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. This is the shabby secret of the welfare statist tirades against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for confiscation of wealth. Gold stands in the way of this insidious process. It stands as a protector of property rights. I think that is just absolutely enlightening because what he's saying is that deficit spending is a scheme for confiscation of wealth. Well, then, if he's saying that, then does our government know that they're spending money on purpose to confiscate our wealth through
wow.
inflation? That's a pretty big statement.
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
So it's amazing to hear the chairman of the Fed. Now you got to figure out that at this point that we got the Fed working in conjunction with the government. We got a lot of the left is saying, well, it's Wall Street. And the right saying, it's the government. And I'm saying it's...
You're true.
I'm saying it's them.
The, yeah.
You know, if you look at... It's all of them because the Fed and Greenspan and Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, you know, I mean, who's the Treasury Secretary right now? Tim Geithner.
Yeah,
where'd he come from? Goldman Sachs. Who was his predecessor?
Well, it seems like most of them are like that, from Goldman Sachs,
yeah.
One of those organizations.
Yeah, his predecessor, Paulson, Goldman Sachs.
Yeah,
you know,
uh-huh.
So the same names just keep coming up over and over again. So you can't think that this is an accident.
No,
you know, I mean,
no, I believe it's planned.
Absolutely, it's like saying that there's an explosion in the print room and a dictionary appeared just out of it was just an accident. You know,
uh-huh.
After a while, you know, I mean, I think it's like if you see you walk into the forest. And you see a row of trees planted, you don't necessarily have to see the guy planted them in order to know that there was, they were planted.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's kind of where we're going on this. So,
okay.
excuse me.
Sure.
With that, you know, it kind of feathers into what we're talking about here. Well, if we're going to go into a survival issue, financial survival is key because, you know, if we have a fire or a flood or a hyperinflation, you know, in a hyperinflation, in all of those scenarios, fire, flood, or hyperinflation, the first thing that usually happens is the store shelves get all cleaned out within
That's right.
three or four days.
Usually 72 hours after a disaster, and I've been in several disasters, and we went and checked this out, literally.
Right.
And within 72 hours, everything in your stores are gone.
Right.
And that's the maximum time, 72 hours.
Right. Well, and what happens, because people see they have a need for stuff, and they better get theirs before it's gone.
Right.
In a hyperinflation, what happens is that the money starts building up in different places, bank accounts and business accounts and so forth. And when they see that their power of their money is being basically confiscated by devaluing it with more printing, mm-hmm. at some point in time, a panic starts to set in. They realize, I got to dump this stuff because it's like a hot potato.
Yeah.
That causes a velocity of the money to flood into the marketplace and buy everything of tangible value.
Commodities.
Commodities, gold, silver, you know, whatever it is. Gold and silver, you know, you can't eat.
No.
You know,
no, it'd be kind of hard to cook that stuff
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's really hard on your teeth, and you know, it's not real chewy.
Not at all.
Yeah, so you know, that's something that is a long-term survival thing. You know, immediately you should be thinking about having food, because
yeah,
typically in a hyperinflation, when this happens, it happens to where, well, let's take Wehrmacht Germany, for example. It took a year or two for it to stabilize.
And that's usually what it will. I think 18 months is the shortest time I've ever seen so far, and that was in 1926 or something
right.
like that.
Right, there you go.
But everywhere else it takes in between 2 and sometimes 4 years to pull out.
Well, and I think what we've got now is a worldwide inflation problem.
Yes.
Because what we have is this. I mean, what started this is 1971, we're on the gold standard, okay? And the dollar being the world reserve currency in all the countries, all their currencies were tied to our dollar, which through what's called the world reserve currency. After World War II, there was our dollars floating around all everybody, so everybody started using our dollars to trade because they were backed by gold and they were made it a strong dollar. Well, in 1971, when Nixon, severed the gold standard from the American dollar, because all the other dollars were pegged to us, it simultaneously separated all the dollars in the world that are tied to us from gold standard. Now you've got a worldwide fiat currency.
Yeah.
Now, initially, it's not a problem, because when you just start, you know, spending a lot of money and then printing the money to cover it, or counterfeiting is what they used to call it.
Yeah.
And so
they're still doing that.
Yeah, I think that's still called counterfeiting, only now at the Fed you get a raise. Or you get a promotion.
You get a promotion.
Yeah. So, and you know, if you look at that part, I mean, the Constitution says that gold and silver, you know, the Congress had the power to coin money and regulate the value thereof, and it didn't say anything about printing. They had to actually change that with the Federal Reserve Act.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, what happens is that, you know, if back in the 1800s, if you were caught counterfeiting, that was a death sentence. They actually, that was a capital punishment crime.
Right,
so
yeah.
They must have thought that that was sort of serious.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got a world back to worldwide, okay? Now all these governments are spending more money than they're taking in, mm-hmm. as governments tend to do.
It seems the longer and the older the government is, the more they do that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that this has been going on since Greece.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem
we still haven't learned.
Yeah, I guess not, because they used to just, instead of, if they had silver coins, they would just melt them down with, you know, put copper in there and devalue them that way. I don't know. Are we still doing that? I mean,
I think so.
Yeah, I think we're doing that too.
So I think you know we are.
Yeah, so it's happening on different levels.
Yeah.
But the problem is that what happens when you start printing money from thin air is that it devalues the other dollars in existence. And when I print the money initially, I get the most bang for my buck, because as it goes into the system, before it devalues the other one, I get the full value of the dollar as it's going in.
Right.
As it sits in the system, it then starts to devalue all the other dollars.
Because mm-hmm. there's more printed.
Because there's more printed. So if I keep doing that, what happens is the dollar gets worth less and less and less and less and less. Now, initially, it's not too bad. Mm-hmm. Because it starts to create a boom. You have a boom cycle, and where the economy's starting to prosper because all these dollars are flooding in, and everybody's got money, and we got a whole bunch of credit, and we're buying houses with no downs, and you know, it's free money, and life is good, you know, and then...
Nothing's free.
Yeah, and then we build this big debt up to the government of $14 trillion, and unfunded liabilities of $200 trillion or whatever it is, mm-hmm. that we can never pay back. And mathematically,
it's impossible.
Exactly. So, if you go to the Bible, and I'm not getting religious on you here, but the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender.
Yeah.
Well, it's called slavery through debt. If I can print money out of thin air and lend it to you at interest, not only am I devaluing and stealing the wealth that you have, because if you have a dollar in the bank and I print a dollar and lend it to you, you now owe me my dollar back
plus
interest.
Yeah.
So I've devalued the dollar that you have, and you owe me more. Now, if that's backed by, let's say we have a coin sitting there, and we had a you had a dollar and it was backed by that coin, and I print one out of thin air and I lend that to you. Now you pay me back. I just stole half your coin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's really good sleight of hand here. These guys are really tricky.
Yeah, it's kind of the three-shell trick
without
the shells.
Yeah, they, what do they call it? The three-card Molly deal.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Now, if I keep doing that, pretty soon what I have is that I own all the coin, and then you have a big pile of paper.
Mm-hmm. And I see where you're going.
Yeah, and so that's part of the problem. Now, if that happens and this devalues, and we're not, I mean, we're printing money to the tune of $100 billion a month through QE2, and if the economy doesn't recover with that, we're going to have QE3.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, you can see that happening.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, we're in recovery, right? You guys feel like we're recovering here?
I beg to differ with you there. Well, I don't think we are.
I feel like I'm recovering like an alcoholic is recovering the day after he got drunk, and he's not going to have another drink until he gets to the bar.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That's the way it works. Yeah.
So and these guys don't seem to be very serious about reducing our deficit spending, so we just keep spending. They keep printing. Well, as that boom goes up, because what we have is a bubble, and all bubbles
pop. It's like the
pop.
Treasury bills right now.
Yeah, well, that's what they're doing, is the Treasury prints the bill, or the bonds, the Treasury bonds.
That's right.
And then, you know, it used to be we would have Japan buy them and China buy them and so forth. And
so they're buying up our debt.
Well, they were. Well, now, because of our dollars becoming worthless, they're starting to say, hey, wait a minute, I don't want to buy any more of those Treasuries that you have, because every time I buy them, you print a bunch of money and make the dollars that I have worthless or worth less. Mm-hmm. And so I'm getting kind of tired of this shell game where you just keep winning and I keep losing. Mm-hmm. So now what they're doing is the Treasury creates the bonds, and now 70% of those bonds are being bought up by the Federal Reserve. So the Treasury creates the bonds out of thin air, and then the Federal Reserve creates the dollars out of thin air, buys the bonds, and that goes into the government coffers and into the economy.
Okay, now you said that the Treasury, I mean the Feds now are buying up their own bonds, in a sense.
Well,
they're buying up the U.S. bonds.
They're buying up U.S. Treasury.
Isn't this a sign, the first sign of a hyperinflation step?
This is exactly what happened in Germany, Zimbabwe.
Yeah, yeah.
This happens over and over again. As soon as you start buying, see what happens is when you get all the other players out of there, number one, and you're monetizing the debt, basically, is what they call it. So you're just printing to cover the government spending.
Right.
Now, if the Fed stops printing money, mm-hmm. Okay, the economy collapses. Because there's no way to fund the economy anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Our Treasury isn't printing it, you know.
Well, and if they keep printing, then we have a hyperinflation.
that's a no-win situation. Well,
right. That's why the founding fathers said that you had to have gold and silver were the only real money. Mm-hmm. And if you had paper notes, then they had to be redeemable upon demand in gold and silver. There has to be something in the Treasury mm-hmm. backing the dollars.
And we don't have that.
And you know, actually, as of right now, the silver stockpiles are gone. If you go to the U.S. Mint site,
wow,
and look around there, they list the silver in the Treasury as none. Now, I actually have a strategic silver coin in my pocket right now. You know, it says, you know, minted.
Can I borrow that from you?
I'll let you look at it. But what it says is, let me see, I'll turn over. It says, minted from the U.S. strategic stockpile of silver.
Oh, wow.
In 1981. And what's interesting about that is, if that's our strategic stockpile,
USSA office,
yeah,
San Francisco.
Why do I have it? Because it's supposed to be in the strategic stockpile.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously we're
why?
Kind of having fun.
I want to know why. No.
I would rather have it in my pocket, but, you know, at least we know it's maybe a little more safe and secure because, so the point being is that there's no silver in the Treasury by their own admission.
Uh-huh.
And so, is there gold?
Good question.
Now, there's been several congressmen that have tried to audit the Treasury, and nobody seems to want to let them go into Fort Knox to find out if there's any gold there.
I wonder why.
Good question. So, back on survival. Okay, so we got this big mess. Well, gold and silver are like the canary in the coal mine. And when you start seeing gold and silver prices sort of shooting up,
which they have been.
That's an indicator there's an inflationary cycle coming. Now, what's interesting as well on top of that is if you want to check and see that they've actually been suppressing the prices should be way higher than they are right now. Cool. It's really easy to figure out a couple things. Google JP Morgan Chase, silver market manipulation. And you'll see that there's been several lawsuits. In fact, there's one right now pending, I think, to the tune of $121 billion of a lawsuit against J.P. Morgan Chase for market manipulation. Mm-hmm. This just didn't make the news. You didn't hear about that one?
No, I haven't heard about that one. I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know why that was.
Mainstream media, maybe?
Yeah, I don't think that MSNBC reported
or Fox,
that. Fox didn't do it either.
Oh, gosh. You'll hear it here, ladies and gentlemen.
So
here we go.
Check it out. Google it. Okay. You know, and I'm kind of use this as an illustration to show you that it's something that's easy to prove, that you're not getting the information, because those guys have been suppressing the market for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And by suppressing the market, they're kind of working with Bernanke, because if Bernanke sees those prices shooting up, oh, that's an indicator of inflation, and man, that's going to be a problem, because now politically they got to say, oh, what's going on?
Then they get a rush.
We aren't really in recovery.
Mm-hmm. So the truth comes out.
The truth comes out. So they've been suppressing the market. It's really easy to find out. They've been doing what's called naked shorting. It's totally illegal. It's kind of like counterfeiting silver and paper in the market over. And so they've been suppressing those prices. And then what they do is they bet on the shorts.
Okay.
So that they actually make money, because they drive the price of the silver down. Yeah. Now, the other interesting thing about this whole silver thing, and it's how I get on this silver thing, and it's like
What people need to know. Yeah.
I have a hard time stopping. Everybody who knows me says he's crazy. So
I don't think so.
So anyway, in the process of the last 50 years or so, because of industry, silver has been chewed up in industry, and it's in computers, it's in solar, it's in
everything.
It's in everything. It's called the indispensable metal. Well, the reason that we're coming to a head on this whole thing, and that's why I'm told, if anybody's out there and you have silver, hang on to it. And if you haven't got any, try and buy some, because silver and gold stay even with the inflation, so it protects
that's
your
true.
Buying power in an inflationary cycle. Now, when you add on to the fact that right now silver is actually above ground, more scarce than gold, and because of industry and it, that can't be recovered, this silver, and you can check all this stuff out. Go online, Google it. I didn't invent this stuff. I just figured it out by doing some research.
Okay.
Now, by doing that, what they've been doing is by shorting the market and driving the price down, they have some contracts that are coming due before the end of the month. If you look at their contracts, basically they have to have in their possession or be able to acquire 7 billion ounces of physical silver in order to pay those contracts. It's 120-something billion, okay? But that's more than there is in the whole earth.
I was going to say, isn't there something like a 140?
Right now, above-ground silver supplies are estimated between 500 million and a billion ounces.
Okay.
So, and they've been running a mining deficit on this stuff from,
they've oversold themselves, I know that.
Exactly, but, when you sell something you don't have, and people want you to deliver, and there's a problem here. The CFTC is Commodities Futures Trading Commission has been all over this, and they've been under investigation. They've actually got a couple of suits filed against them under the RICO Act for racketeering.
I've heard that, racketeering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a big problem with the bank. Now, back to hyperinflation.
Mm-hmm.
If silver is more rare than gold and actually more of a type of a commodity that is more useful in industry,
mm-hmm.
the people are saying that after the silver market manipulation ends, it's going to shoot way up.
I expect that. Yeah.
So that's a huge game changer for a lot of people out there if they're hanging onto silver for their financial long-term well-being.
Right.
Because if these dollars go to zero, I don't care if you've got $500,000 in the bank, it's not worth much.
Right, exactly. I understand that.
Yeah, hyperinflation's hyperinflate to zero. If you go to the Cato Institute and look at their study that they did on Zimbabwe, you'll find that they had currency at the start of their hyperinflation. And by the way, this is ancient history. This is 2008.
Right, yeah.
At the start, you could buy a cup of coffee with their dollar. And at the end, it took
trillion-dollar bill?
Well, I got a $100 trillion bill, but it's more than that, because it actually, they kept putting zeros on there, and I don't know what is after, it got a trillion, quadrillion, and then I don't know what's after that. Is that like a bazillion? Or
I don't know. I can talk Terra language, maybe a Terra.
Terra Rillin. So I don't know. But look it up. Go on to the website, Cato Institute Zimbabwe. You'll see exactly it. Yeah.
They're collector's items now, those bills are.
Absolutely. You can get them off of eBay for $5 with no shipping.
And we did a show on this before. During that period of time, with that trillion or so dollar bill, you could only buy like three quarters of a shopping cart of groceries, and that's.
I don't even think you could do that.
Really?
At the height of it.
Well, that's okay. What's happening out there, ladies and gentlemen. It could be coming our way.
Yeah, because they're doing the exact same thing. So what happens when? Okay, now we kind of threw the silver thing in there, so you have a hedge long term. But when those shelves get cleaned out, because when people panic, they realize that their dollars are becoming worthless. I mean, have you noticed that gas is going up?
Everything.
Well, food and energy just happen to be taken out of the equation on the government statistics for the CPI indexes, the consumer price index. It's called hedonics. It's convenient. You know, so anything that's actually is being inflated just gets pulled out of the equation, so we're only still doing a couple of percent.
So you only get maybe 50% of the truth on that.
I don't even think. Yeah, I don't even think that's, you know, I think we're getting a half truth is still a lie, you know.
Okay, I see where we're going here, yeah.
So, when that happens, and this has happened over and over again through history, every time they start monetizing the debt. This happened in Germany. All the store shelves cleared out because you hear about the stories with the guys walking around with, you know, big wheelbarrows full of cash. And they
Germany, World War II, they did that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's what we're talking about. So that's why, we started at the beginning, you can't eat silver. That's why you need to have food.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're right, you know, and you can check all this stuff out, the worst case scenario is let's say we're wrong. And I've been studying hyperinflation for 30 years. Monetary policy is part of what I do mm-hmm. for a living. And so, early on you study and you figure out what's going on. So, if I'm wrong, then we'll have a Mark Kent tinfoil hat party.
I'll have my hat on.
Have your hat on. We
not
can
a
all
problem.
We can all dance around the tinfoil hat napo.
Yeah.
But if we're right and you don't have food, you have serious problems.
You got a big problem there. And
yeah.
This is something I've been in many areas where there were disasters.
Absolutely.
And that emergency food storage and that emergency water, fuel, things of this nature.
Right.
Is the only thing to save people.
It's just smart. Period. Whether it's a hyperinflation or whether it's a flood. And you know, I was talking to my niece the other day, and I just told her, I says, you know, I'm not really sure if I care about you, but I care about your kids.
I know a few people like that.
You know, obviously I do care about her, but I was trying to illustrate
the point across,
that listen, it's not just you that's at risk here. These kids can't mm-hmm. help what's going on. So we need to take some steps and some precautions just in case to make sure that there's not a long-term survival problem on food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's one thing that I've always done is store food,
right?
You know, I mean, I store medical supplies and things like that. We got about 30 seconds before we're going into commercial here, and I want to pose a question to you. How long do you think, you know, before the times get to a point where our money is going to, you know, be worth basically nothing, to the point where you better buy your stuff now and do what you need to do now? How many years or months or something like that?
I think long term, by 2013,
okay,
we're going to be full blown. Short term, before the end of the year.
That's pretty much what I feel.
Yeah.
And the other people I've talked to. Okay, this is William Wycrow with Mark Kent here and Chandler, our producer, and we'll get back on this conversation of preparedness and what to do right after this commercial.
We call upon women, we call upon children, we call upon the handicapped, the infirm, the weak of heart. We need your courage, your dedication, your passion.
Have you been thinking about installing solar power system for your home or office? Maybe you looked into solar power a couple of years ago and thought it was way too expensive. Hi, I'm Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables, and I have great news. The cost of a solar power system has dropped dramatically in the last 2 years, and the federal tax credits have increased to 30% of the cost of a system. Now is a great time to give solar a closer look. The news is full of warnings about the cost of energy going up soon, and the best way to keep your cost of energy cheap and stable is installing solar power. If you talk to us, we answer all of your questions, explain how solar works, and how it will affect your monthly bill. For a free in-home consultation, please give us a call, 524-9652, or email dennis@westcoastsustainables.com.
This is Nancy Kolb, founder and president of Anti-Career Consulting, and advocating for nonprofit, veteran, and business organizations in service to our community. Find out all about us at anticareer.com, or you can call 530-604-0660. Visit us at www.anticareer.com. Thank you so much. We hope to hear from you soon. And don't be surprised if I walk up to you and say, hand me the mic. You have something to say. Tell me about the needs on the street.
Analog living in a digital world. That's what we talk about on Boomer Tech Radio every Saturday from 1 to 2 here on KCNR 1460. Brought to you each week by BNT Satellite, your dish network provider. Advanced Automotive, providing safe, reliable auto care for their customers and our community. And Tammy Thomas, your Edward Jones advisor, making sense of investing. Boomer Tech Radio, now at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoons, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
So stand up, we shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you've got more to give, then
hello, this is William Whitecrow, and welcome back to Sovereign Minds, and we're talking about preparedness, all the way from financial preparedness to home preparedness, security, and things like that. And we're going to let Mark go a little bit further here on this and talk about this time period. You know, he said could be at the end of this year, and by 2013, we could be in full-fledged blowout here.
Yeah, pretty much. I think we have to have a disaster collapse, I believe, here at some point in the not-too-distant future, just because of all the economics. I mean, you know, you got a lot of people looking at the stock market going up, for example. Oh, we're in the stock market. We're in a bull market. Well, if I devalue the currency by 10% and the stock market goes up by 10%, have I really gained anything?
I don't see how
you. No, because it's about the value, not necessarily the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's been happening is the president's plunge protection team, I don't know if you've ever heard of those guys.
Yes,
but
I have.
Yeah, what they do is they anytime the market starts to collapse, they print up a bunch of new money and stuff it into the S&P and keep it going.
Sounds like Monopoly.
Yeah, kind of, pretty much. You know, it's only sooner or later, you know.
You're going to go broke.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're going to land on Boardwalk somewhere.
And you're gone, man. Man, I've done that. That's no fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not
so,
at all. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I got a couple of some fun things here that, you know, a couple of jokes here on banking, you know. And, I mean, if you go back into history, the founding fathers knew a lot about banking. But this is a quote from Bob Hope. He said, a bank is a place that will lend you money if you can prove you don't need it.
That's true.
And here's another one. I don't know who.
I say that's true. I've been there. Did that.
Here's another one. Drive-in banks were established so most of the cars today could see their real owners.
Ooh.
Yeah, but we need like a bum bum.
Ooh. Yeah. There you go. There you go.
Yeah, and here's one from Mark Twain that's kind of good too. A banker is a fellow who lends you his umbrella when the sun is shining, but wants it back the minute it begins to rain.
Yeah, that sounds like some of the people that I know in the financial institution. I won't give out no names here, but you hit the nail on the head.
Anyway, that's kind of fun stuff, you know. But, you know, I'll just give you a quote from Thomas Jefferson, and then we can go back onto the survival. Anybody who wants to look this stuff up, it's Google it. You know, I didn't.
Yeah, definitely. As we always say on the show, if you don't believe us, Google it. Check it out for yourself.
Yeah, and you know, I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private bank to control the issue of the currency, first by inflation, then deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around the bank will deprive the people of their property until the children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Yeah, you know, the issue. Power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs. That's Thomas Jefferson debate over the recharter of the bank bill 1809. So, yeah, this has been going on for quite some time. And in that quote, it says that private bank. And a lot of people get this one confused. Glenn Beck did something on it on Friday.
I heard that.
Yeah,
that was good.
It is a private bank, and it's very easy to prove. For anybody who wants to do some investigative reporting, Google the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Go to their website, and on their website, you'll see where it says how they're organized. Go down to their bylaws, click into their bylaws, and scroll down to where it says it has stock in the bank. Well, private corporations have stock, not government agencies.
That's right.
So they don't reveal who the stockholders are.
That's because it's incorporated.
Absolutely. So it is a private bank. It's easy to prove. They won't even deny it. In fact, they'll let you look at their bylaws to show you that they actually are. So,
right. Yeah. Even their, you know, their board members and everything else. Nobody basically tells them what to do.
No, they're pretty much unaccountable. There is some things coming up where they're having to, there's been a Freedom of Information Act thing that they have to release some paperwork here pretty soon, and that's going to be interesting.
I think that's going to be really sticky for them.
I think so, too, because they're going to have to reveal who they've been lending money to, you know, worldwide and so forth. And, you know, these guys, it's pretty much assumed that they've been lending other central banking institutions. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Through what's called the Bank of International Settlements. All you got to do is Google it, Bank of International Settlements. I mean, you'll see
a lot of information there.
Yeah, Central Bank's bank. And so you can, you know, this stuff is not just schmo stuff. It's actually, you know, the truth. I've got here's the United States Court of Appeals, the Ninth Circuit, submitted March 2nd of 1982. And it says the Federal Reserve Banks are not federal instrumentalities for the purpose of the Federal Tort Claim Act, mm-hmm. but are independent, privately owned, and locally controlled corporations. Now, so that's pretty much it. So, private bank, issuing the currency, get you in debt, and keep inflating the currency until it gets out of control, hyperinflation. Now, there you go. Now we need food. Mm-hmm. So, let's start going into the food storage stuff. I mean,
food storage and everything I see is very, very important. You know, like I said, I've done it. Our whole valley, our community is starting to do this because we really see some dire times ahead here.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I think we need to have at least a minimum of a year's worth of food.
Yeah.
You know, that's my opinion, you know, about people can take it for what it's worth.
Oh, the government's even starting to say that. They're putting that out on notices.
Right.
You know, have a year's worth of food stored up because when this happens, you're not going to be able to run down the store and get what you need and do
right.
this and do that. You know?
Well, look at Katrina. Look at this
example, Katrina.
Yeah, Japan. I mean, up here we could have a forest fire or a flood. You know, I mean, and it's the same situation. You mm-hmm. know, so it's just smart. You know, and at the Tea Party, we've been giving classes. We're having a class coming up. On food storage, to show people how to store it, you know, how to get it into the Mylar bags, you know, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, gardening, we're trying to promote gardening. And
I think that gardening is a very essential part because, let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, you can have a year's worth of food stored, but you better get some of those good seeds, as we
right.
say.
Yeah.
They can reproduce themselves.
Right, you want the heirloom.
Instead of the Monsanto stuff.
Absolutely. You want the heirloom varieties and not the hybrids. And mm-hmm. and you can go, all this stuff is online. You can Google it.
Yeah.
Get it. It's fairly reasonable. The first thing, though, I always tell everybody is start with a good, you know, the old get out of Dodge bag or the bug out bag.
3 to 7 day bag.
Yeah.
We do that with my company and everything. We have 3 and 7 day pack systems you can just grab and you're gone.
That's the smartest thing to start with because you want to be prepared quickly, and you can even get those online. We've got lists at the Tea Party of what you can put in your bag, and it's really an individualized type of thing. Everybody's got different ideas.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, but that's where I would start because then you, if anything does happen immediately, at least you have something going before you get the rest of the stuff put together.
Yeah.
So,
you know, there's another thing that I talk about in our community and stuff in the conferences I've been to on this preparedness issue is have a 7-day plan. Escape routes, phone numbers, other people that you can go to, their homes, friends, neighbors. If something happens to a neighbor, are you going to be able to help them?
Right.
You know, because this is a community issue now. This is not global. We were looking at Shasta County here,
right.
our families, our friends, and everything of what we can do during our time of need.
I think what you're going to see if this plays out the way that, and again, almost all the analysts that I, there's two camps. I mean, you got the rainbows, lollipops, and sunshine camp, okay, and we're in recovery. And it's really pretty hard to buy that one at this point. I mean, you guys feel like you're in recovery out there. And then you got the other side that says, you know, pretty much the doom and gloom report.
Right.
One of them's lying.
Well, you need to be an optimist in this.
I agree.
Everybody has to be that way because you got to look at what can I do for my family.
Well, I think this could be the best thing that could happen to America.
I agree.
I think this is going to be a great thing. It's going to get us back to an honest money system.
Stable.
We're going to get educated. We get back to self-reliance instead of this dependency on government so they can control every aspect of our lives with this nanny state.
Yeah, we need
to
get them out of there.
Yeah, so that's I think this is, in the end, going to be great, but there's going to be some pain between here and there.
There has to be, and that's growing pains, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, one thing, I heard a politician, I forget exactly which one it was, about a year ago, you know. Actually, I think it was about 2 years ago when a lot of things really started talking about this hyperinflation aspect.
Right.
They said one of the things you need to do is think like they did on the planes, the people lived on the planes 100 years ago.
Right.
Now, these people stored their stuff during the summer for those winter hard times and everything. And we really need to fall back on those old American traditional
values.
Absolutely.
Build a root cellar.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I was going to say, too, that we're doing at the Tea Party is we're right now, we've got the action group, Survival and Preparedness. I just happen to be in charge of that. So, you know, I just thought I'd get a plug in there, you know.
Yeah, he's good, eh? You go, Mark.
But we're setting up another action group for communication so that we can put together ham radios and a network and a phone tree so that people, and a plan, you know, 7-day, a month plan, whatever, so that people are in communication, so that we work together as a community. Because what I was going to say is that I think as this develops, you're going to start seeing communities pulling in as opposed to globaling out, you
That's
know.
Right.
Because if the gas prices shoot up, and last time I checked, the highest diesel I saw was about $4.43.
Wow.
So if they shoot up worldwide, then how cheap is it going to be for them to ship bananas from Guatemala to us, for example?
Well, that's not going to happen.
Exactly.
You know, you better have a banana tree in your backyard at that point.
Yeah, I mean, when a banana costs you $500,000, you know, I mean, it's going to be a tough sell.
Yeah,
so.
You know, I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to have some corn.
I think I'd rather go out to the garden and get a slice of broccoli and, you know, not mortgage my property, you know, for the banana.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that sounds a little off the charts, but, you know, estimates are at the projected rate in another, you know, year.
100%?
We're doing 20% right now.
Yeah.
If it keeps going, you know, you could see in a year and a half bananas at $12 a piece.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're watching that now happen in many cases.
Yeah. So that's the thing. And so that's the hyperinflation. And the real deal is it's the insidiousness of it, or if the evil, if you will, is the fact that it cleans out the middle class of all of their life's savings. And that's why, I mean...
What's happening now?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all these guys are Keynesianists, right? And John Maynard Keynes, somebody, I don't know how to pronounce it, but the Keynesianist economists are, you know, all in the White House and most of the media and so forth. And what they're saying is, I mean, and this is, they're saying that this is all going to straighten out by printing money. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, the old survey says,
you're right.
But John Bernard Keynes himself said that inflation is a way to confiscate the wealth of the middle class, and only one man in a million will figure this out because they won't see the sleight of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't see the actual printing of the money, and they don't see it going into the economy through the government, paying the government's bills and its debts and flooding.
Right.
And, you know, going into the Middle East, for example. I mean, the reason the Middle East started rioting was over food shortages because...
Food shortages, no jobs, no security.
Well, because of our trade imbalance and what they call hot money, they've been flooding this money into the Middle East for the oil.
Long time.
For quite a while. So back in the Middle East, not that I've ever been there, but let's say that they pay 50% of their income for food and prices double. Well, they're in trouble. Now, that's not to say that they don't have some other problems like dictators and a few other things, but you're not as mad at the dictator when you're full.
That's right.
When you get really hungry.
My grandfather used to say that.
Yeah. Right, you start getting a little bit more angry because when your kids are hungry and they're crying, you start getting angry. And
you get on edge because our natural thing is to say it. Here, we're men right here, you know, and women too, you know, are out there doing the jobs and everything. These people are watching the pain their family is going through
and
they're feeling it. So they come to a point of realizing, I have to do something.
Absolutely. And you know something? If the American people think that they're above the law of physics...
Oh.
And they're that arrogant. And there's a lot of them out there that just think, oh, it can never happen here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, just keep telling yourself that and keep telling yourself about the rainbows and the lollipops because you'll probably need some of the lollipops if we keep heading in this direction.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there. Now, you know, since we're talking about preparedness and everything, I want to touch base on something here. It's not only the monetary things that are going on and, you know, the storing of the food, but, you know, a lot of us have pets out there.
Right.
A lot of us, you know, not me, but a lot of people have diabetes. They have other medical conditions.
Absolutely.
And I have talked to several doctors out there, and they say that they do work with people on this. You know, get a little bit of extra medication. Put right. it away. You know, get stock up on as much medical supplies as you can for your family.
Because some of them, it's a critical issue.
It is. It's a life and death situation.
Yeah, if you've got diabetes, for example, and you need your insulin, and all of a sudden we have this big chaotic thing, and you can't, and there's no distribution, and your insulin's cut off, you got a real problem. So, yeah, definitely be stocking up the medical. That's a good point, you know.
Yeah, and that's another thing where I talk about I'm into herbs and everything. I've been
right.
studying and practicing, work with cancer patients, every kind of illness you can think of, mental health, everything.
Right.
And people, I would advise you out there to start learning more about your natural herbs that are in your community around you, because a lot of them have antiviral, antibacterial properties that can help. And, you know, a simple good book out there, you can go buy them and start educating yourself. It's not time to sit on our butts, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to go into an operation in an active mode of preparing.
It's called self-reliance. It's what the people who started this country
depended on
themselves. They didn't have anybody holding their hand or handing them food stamps. And, you know, it's a great point with the food stamps, because they get devalued just as fast as the rest of the stuff, you know.
Yeah, they can.
And, you know, it's funny. Do you know who's in charge of that food stamp program? J.P. Morgan. I mean,
well, that's new. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's got they're the ones issuing those credit cards.
I'll be damned.
I mean, you know, these names.
You heard it. J.P. Morgan, there he is again.
You can't make this stuff up, you know. I mean, you know, it seems like the same names keep coming up. You
these
know?
Are all
I mean,
bankers too.
It seems like these banker guys just, you know, they don't want to just have what they have. They want to have what you have and a bunch more.
Well, you know, what was it? Nick Rockefeller, I think. He was the one that turned around and said, give me control of a country's money, and I care not who makes the laws.
Actually, that was Rothschild.
Rothschild? That
was Mayor Angel Rothschild, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I hate to get into the Rothschilds, because now we're starting.
Here we go.
Yeah, it's like, oh, no, they're going off the deep end again. It's the Rothschilds, you know.
No, there is an elite, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
So we're telling you what to prepare for.
But it's all about banking. It really is.
Yeah.
And you know, this thing goes back to the biblical times, you know. I mean,
it goes back a lot further.
I mean, the thing is, somewhere along the line, you know, you had these goldsmiths that decided that it was just too much when these were trading money, gold, to pack these big bags of gold back and forth.
Right, that's where the paper currency.
So the paper came in, and then the guy that was, you know, guarding the gold, somewhere along the line figured out that he could actually lend money off the gold that wasn't his with the paper.
That's right.
And pretty soon he would just keep lending the money and charging interest, and pretty soon he owned all the gold in the treasury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good
he
stuff.
He owned it. You know, his story, history.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly
but,
right.
But, you know, we're coming right down to what is happening in America here, ladies and gentlemen. And Mark has really made some good points here. You know, and if you're going to do, get your silver and keep it yourself personally.
Right. Physical possession. You don't want to have paper.
Right. Because I know one thing for sure, and I've done my studies on this, and Nate and Chandler and all of us have. When those banks close, you don't get in to get anything out of that bank or your safety deposit box or nothing.
Yeah, all you have to do is go watch It's a Wonderful Life. Have you ever seen Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, you know, the Christmas thing?
Yeah.
Where, you know, they have a run on the bank, mm-hmm. and the bank shuts down.
Because, very good movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, you have the Potterville guy, the uh-huh. banker, you know, but in a real-life situation, you can go back in history, Google bank runs.
Yeah.
And
it's happening.
When it happens, and it's happened, and it's already happening, and like it's happened in Ireland recently, when they close the bank down, you're done. I mean, they don't.
That's it. You got what's in your pocket.
That's it. They don't care if they have your life savings,
uh-huh.
and then what they've been doing in Ireland as well, for example, being Irish, sort of close to my heart.
Hoo-ah.
Yeah. So.
Me too, half Irish, half Indian.
There you go.
I'm with you, bro.
There's a combination there, boy. But anyway, what they do over there is once they get these guys in debt through the banking and the government, they're implementing what's called austerity.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take all of their retirement as well.
You know, I was just listening to, I think, Costa Mesa here in California.
Yep.
They just dropped 200 of their employees.
Absolutely.
And they're going to outsource all that. Look at what's happening in America here. That's in California.
Yeah, absolutely.
200 people gone and their life savings.
Well, that's why this is shot off the bow. I mean, I was at that city council meeting last week with the union members.
Yeah.
And you know, they need to understand that, you know, if they lose their jobs or their retirement, they're in just as much trouble as the rest of us. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm not anti-union. I'm not saying that. But I'm actually concerned for them because
They're not making adjustments.
Well, exactly. And most of them have all the retirement in CalPERS. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, CalPERS is invested in the stock market. Okay, we kind of talked a little bit about that.
Very true.
And do you know what? I think it's 20% on an exact figure, but is invested in mortgage-backed securities. And do you know who's been issuing the mortgage-backed securities, right?
Come on.
J.P. Morgan.
We knew it. We knew it. There he is again.
Bank of America. You know.
I think I can get a J.P. Morgan mask and just wear it around. Yeah. Throw your money at me.
Well, yeah, you can't make this stuff up, you know.
No,
but that's, you know, they bought all those mortgage-backed securities from AG, or Bear Stearns. So
there was a lot of change over there. Right
yeah.
There. A lot of hands in that place.
So they just keep selling these worthless pieces of paper, but what's happening is it's coming to a head here. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, going back to CalPERS, you know, if the stock market crashes, problem. The mortgage-backed securities, that's just a problem, period. You know, So I feel bad for those guys. I think that they need to be diversifying. I mean, if it was me, I'd be pulling my stuff out of there if any way possible and throwing it into some precious metals as we go into this
cycle. The thing about it is you're a smart man here. You know, you've done your studies in this. This is part of your living.
It's absolutely what it is. That's what I do for a living.
And the average person out there, you know, your firefighter, your city police or something, they don't see these things that you see. And by putting this out on the air right now, it's giving them a warning.
That's what I'm trying to do. That's why I'm here.
It's like, hey, wake up. It's time to wake up.
It's time to wake up and quit, start smelling the coffee and, you know, instead of the brandy.
I like the coffee a lot.
I like brandy, too, but, you know.
I mean, only on the weekends.
It doesn't keep you nearly as awake as the coffee.
Oh, no, not at all. I had my cup before I came here today. No, you know, we're talking about this preparedness thing, and really, you know, you said something here. By the end of this year, we could be really having some problems. But definitely by 2013,
we will have a
major collapse.
I think it's going to be sooner than that. Uh-huh. But, you know, it's hard to – the one thing about this is it's hard to time the market on just about anything. There's too many variables. There's too many things that you can't predict other than the big picture. You know, it's like –
we do know it's coming. We just don't know when.
We just don't know which day. It's not a matter of if it's going to crash or if there's going to be hyperinflation. It's just on which day. Is it going to be Thursday, Friday, or what?
Right.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, if you do any analyzation on the market, I mean, there's no underlying fundamentals holding this market up. I mean, where do we have any industry? No. Do we have any jobs? I mean,
NAFTA treaty took care of all that.
I mean, it's just amazing if you start looking at the numbers and if you just keep pouring, you know, counterfeit money into the stock market to prop it up, we got a credit debt bubble. I mean, the government is creating the credit and the debt.
Yeah, and the one thing that I said on a radio show, it wasn't on this one, I do radio shows for other people too.
Right.
And I turned around and we were talking about the credit, and I said the first thing I would do personally, dump my credit card.
Yeah.
And you know what? I got 1,000 emails over a 3-day period, and 1,000 people did that.
Really?
I was blown away.
That's great.
I didn't think that was possible.
Well, get out of debt. Get yourself organized. Every person's situation is going to be different. Educate yourself and start getting yourself in a position to where you're not going to get hurt as this thing develops.
Yeah, so the first thing you want to do is get your server and get it in your hands. Don't leave it in the bank and everything. I would say invest in, correct me if I'm wrong here, Mark, invest your money in things that will help you make it.
Yep.
You know, get your food storage. You know, a lot of things that we talk about storage here, people don't think about, like we mentioned a few minutes ago. You know, get your silver and do what Mark says here. I mean, a very intelligent man. This is his job. This is what he does, his career. He knows what he's talking about. Pay close attention. We only got about 3 minutes here. Store the things that you need. Toothpaste, new toothbrushes, medical supplies.
Toilet paper.
Yeah. We've got to get ourselves together.
Yeah, all that stuff.
There.
I mean, you know, ammunition might be a good
fishing
thing,
equipment.
Too.
Fishing equipment.
You know, you might want to be able to shoot a few birds or something.
Definitely.
So.
Well, we do that. We're stocked up on all of our fishing gear, our ammo, our weapons.
Absolutely.
A good pistol, a good .22, and a good shotgun, you know, rifle so you can hunt, you know.
You know, they're talking about, I'm not sure if that's actually going to happen yet, but I'm pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure Brown signed the bill. They're going to let like 60,000 prisoners go.
Yeah.
And if they let 60,000 prisoners go.
Home security.
Well, and we have a problem like this. I mean, talk about a recipe for disaster. You better be able to defend yourself.
Yeah, home security is a must. So with that said, we've probably got a couple minutes left here in the show. I would like to thank Mark Kent for stopping by here.
Thanks for having me.
Definitely. I mean, you really enlightened me on some situations here. And
thanks.
We could just J.P. Morgan kept popping up here. I just don't understand that.
Yeah.
Why? Maybe it's those banker guys.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be the bankers.
Hang on. Get them out of here. Okay, and with that said, I'd like to touch base on our sponsors one more time here. Advanced Oil Stabilization, using Technis Oil for dust control on roads, driveways, and parking lots. Also, as I said, they install Crestone driveways. And, you got to give Todd Sykes here a call for more information on this, even just to check it out. And his number is 530-549-4801, and that's Advanced Oil is green friendly, as we say, and eliminates dust.
Can I get the tea party in Monday night, Bonneview Baptist, 6 o'clock?
Do it.
All right.
All right, we got it there. Sounds good to me. Ladies and gentlemen, go to this tea party. I've been there several times. Unfortunately, I can't be there all the time, but when I go there, I learn a lot. And we have Team Quest with Carlos Zapata. Get out there and learn how to protect yourself, protect your family. And if your kids don't know how to fight and you don't have the time, get them in here. It's good for their confidence and everything else in life. And so this is us. This is Sovereign Minds with Mark and Chandler, myself. And Nate's not here tonight, but our hearts are with him. And get ready, ladies and gentlemen. Get prepared. Don't be scared. Be prepared. And this is William White Crow saying, good night and good day, and this is Sovereign Minds, opening one mind at a time.
Do not sit idly by. Do not remain neutral. Do not rely on this broadcast alone. We are only as strong as our signal. There is a war going on for your mind. If you are thinking, you are winning. Resistance is victory. Defeat is impossible. Your weapons are already in hand. Reach within you and find the means by which to gain your freedom. Fight with tools. Your fate and that of everyone you know depends on it.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio, I'm Cameron Riegel. A magnitude 6.5 earthquake shook the eastern part of Japan tonight. That prompted a tsunami alert.
This earthquake can be considered an aftershock of the major 9.0. It is within the aftershock zone. The actual earthquake itself is located off the coast of Japan, approximately 50 kilometers.
Susan Potter with the United States Geological Survey. Concern continuing regarding the crippled reactor, with worries about radiation leaking into the sea.
What is coming out is not only contaminating the immediate area around the reactor, but it's also going into the sea, and there are now fears that it's beginning to affect marine life and eventually the food chain. Of course, seafood being a key part of the diet and staple of people's diet here in Japan. On top of that,
that's Fox's Dominic Di Natale reporting. As the airstrikes continue in Libya, a question for the U.S. is, what's next?
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton calls the decision to begin airstrikes in Libya a watershed.